Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
Man, I am blown away by some of the Gary and Mead. I feel like if Teddy had a better day, that's it. When Locke does, it's dissected. Feels like the station is all about Teddy. Wow. I don't know what to say, man. They've had a handful of practices open. Today is one of the few that it was, you know, everybody had to be there. This was it. Today was the day. Like, Melvin Gordon had to be there. Everybody had to be there.
Hey, man, I'm really not surprised to hear the feedback on the text line. We've all got an opinion. We've all got somebody that we're rooting for to become the starting quarterback. People don't believe me, but I'm rooting for Drew Locke. That's who I want to be the starting quarterback. And if you're rooting for Drew Locke, you don't want to hear anybody give real analysis when they break it down play by play and they tell you that maybe he didn't play as well as you thought he did. It also happens to coincide with, it's the first time that we've ever had information like this that you did a great job of detailing. We've never had this information during the Teddy Bridgewater days, so we weren't able to analytically break it down and give a plus-minus grading system on it. But we have it right now. This is the first practice that we have had it, and we broke it down. I mean,
you know what? We'll do it tomorrow, and we'll do it Thursday, and after 3 days, we'll see. I'll be surprised. Well, I don't know. Maybe I was surprised today that Drew had the type of day he did. That was cool. I was pumped.
Let me ask you this. I was excited for him. Now that you've heard what the grade came out at, yeah. Are you surprised by the grade?
No, because there's equal value placed at in all situations.
Yes.
And I think you probably understand where I was coming from, because it's pretty obvious that I was, you know, making a bigger deal of
the good stuff.
The scoring opportunities.
Yep.
You know, I was like, okay, fine. You're just operating a bunch of plays from midfield, but oh, we are going to move the ball. The whole team, here we go. We're going to be in the red zone-y scoring area. I'm like, oh, so I was paying attention to everything, but once they did that, I was like, okay, here we go. I mean, this is why quarterbacks get paid. What can you do in the red zone? What can you get on third down? Because the vast majority of NFL quarterbacks are pretty good just moving between the 20s.
Oh, I do get that for sure. And those are the moments that stand out, and those are the moments that you want to get excited by, the scoring moments like that. But I think now that if you've had a moment to step back and think about it, if I applied this as a game and I applied it first quarter, second quarter, right. Third quarter, fourth quarter.
Right.
Well, yeah, we had some moments in the fourth quarter where we made an awesome comeback, but unfortunately, we got down by 17 because of some mistakes that were going on early on.
Probably. We probably had a couple sacks. We probably had at least one interception. And we didn't have any scoring earlier because.
If you were to grade an actual game like that, of course, you're not going to only think about the good stuff.
Right. And today, too, did point out how conservative overall the Broncos offense plans to be. So when you have an opportunity to really get the ball down the field or make a play, you better take advantage of that opportunity, because they're not coming unless you're desperate and you're down and you're forced to go crazy, which we've actually seen Drew Locke do. We've seen games that are just disasters, and they're getting blown out, and Drew Locke can come down and score you a couple touchdowns late in the game. Mm-hmm. We've seen that as well. Kind of too late, but, I mean, you know, we've seen it. On the text line, Mount Palumbis speak. Hey, Tyler, what is the impact on the offensive line when the Broncos switch quarterbacks? Specific question.
Palumbis.
Well, if you switch quarterbacks in the middle of the week, impact is not that severe. When you switch quarterbacks in the middle of the game, it's really significant, and it's really pretty simple. It's all about cadence. That's what it comes down to. We live and die based off of anticipation of the cadence. When Peyton says Omaha, guess what's coming next?
Right.
Set hut.
There's a rhythm.
And guess when I'm going? When he goes Omaha, I'm going at the end of the ha. He hasn't said set hut yet,
right?
But I'm going because I'm anticipating the rhythm. I know what that cadence is going to sound like.
Right.
And when you bring in a new quarterback in the middle of the game, their rhythm is never the same. And inevitably, yeah, you've got false starts, but it's really not about the false starts. It's you get behind the eight ball in a third and long situation where you do need to anticipate the snap. That's the one advantage that you have over the defense is that I know the snap. You don't. I get to anticipate it. I get like a one kick start before you even get moving. And when you lose that, all of a sudden everything becomes more stressful. Yes, you have false starts, but all of a sudden you're losing third and long situations that normally you would win because you didn't anticipate the cadence. Now, when you make the change in the middle of the week, it's not a huge difference. I mean, when you're going from RG3 to Matt Hasselbeck, or a better example, real-life example, RG3 to Kirk Cousins, that's a difficult change, for sure. That's really difficult. But if you're talking about Teddy Bridgewater to Drew Lock, those guys don't do anything fundamentally that is going to be make it difficult for the offensive line to transition from one to the other outside of understanding the cadence.
D-Mac, what is your number? Remind us again. 719-229-8152.
You keep doing that.
Yeah.
I keep telling you, you shouldn't do that.
I believe you guys are being very objective about the quarterbacks. I'm not sure how people on the text line think you're playing favorites. I think it's because they have a favorite. And it's tough to...
That's right.
When you have a favorite, you kind of... This is kind of like the hockey people out there that are like, why don't you talk more hockey? It's like, you really don't want us to talk hockey. You want us to say good things about the team that you really love. That's what you're really saying. Because if we really were to talk hockey, we could possibly be critical of the guys that you really like or want us to think are the greatest. There's nothing wrong with that, but there's a difference. So,
I mean, are we being Teddy Bridgewater haters by saying that he doesn't have a high ceiling? Seriously.
Is that hate
on Teddy Bridgewater by me saying he's not going to go out there and win you any games? He's just probably not going to lose them. Because you could easily apply whatever negatives we've said about Drew Lock. We've said the opposite of that about Teddy Bridgewater. So the positives of Drew Lock have been negatives about Teddy. The positives about Teddy have been negatives about Drew. It's definitely been fair and accurate analysis. It just happens to be that you sitting in the car, you've got an opinion, which is fine.
Yeah,
you've got a justified opinion of who you want to be the starting quarterback, and you want to be validated in that opinion because you're a human being, and human beings want to be right.
By the way, let me tell you this. If this was a day at training camp, I've been lucky to cover a lot of Broncos training camps. If this was a day of training camp and fans were there and watched this practice, there is no doubt they would get in their car and think Drew Lock had a much better day than Teddy Bridgewater.
Mm.
Now, you are giving us behind-the-curtain analysis, which is awesome. Awesome. But I promise you. And by the way, I told you when Teddy Bridgewater came here and the first practice I saw with him when he threw that touchdown pass to Jerry Jeudy, if you got in your car and saw that practice, you would think Teddy Bridgewater is much better than Drew Lock. I am telling you, the perception today, easily, it wasn't even close what the perception would have been from most fans watching that today, is that Drew Lock kicked Teddy Bridgewater's butt. No doubt about it. Now, if you want to go all football-y, I've seen a million practices, you don't know what you're talking about, D-Mag, X, Y, and Z. If you want to go in that direction, you can.
Well, I guess I would say that it's a little bit of lazy analysis if you're still going to stand by that now that we're taking into account the full
No, I appreciate it. I'm just telling you how the public would perceive it, that's all. I'm telling you how fans would perceive it.
But I mean, that is lazy analysis by saying I'm only going to take into account the stuff that I want to take into account, when in reality, in your very own handwriting or typing, you wrote all the other stuff as well, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you could say you're going all football-y-esque and going too deep and thinking through it too far, or you could say, no, like, the start of practice matters as much as the end of practice.
You know what the craziest thing was in Broncos history? The craziest thing in terms of fan perception was TiVo. It really was.
Yeah.
I mean, it was stunning. And by the way, he was so bad in practices, and there were so many bad moments that if we did a grading thing like this with TiVo, I promise you this, Tyler, there is zero chance, I mean zero, that TiVo would have ever graded out better than Kyle Orton in any day.
Absolutely no chance. But
zero.
You know, the one thing that Drew Lock has going for him a little bit is that he does show up when the lights turn on.
Yeah,
and I'm not surprised to hear that he looked better today than he's looked in OTA practices that were at 70% and that were without 11-on-11 football. He's got, I mean, it's not to the Tim Tebow level, but there's something to be said about guys that just show up when the lights are on.
Okay, We got some great read between the lines moments with Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, yes.
Awesome stuff that wasn't even meant to be read between the lines. It was meant to hype up the dumb golf thing that they're doing. But instead, both Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers take shots on former, well, not former for Aaron Rodgers, future former coaches, and Brady rips on Belichick. You'll hear it next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
You're listening to The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
We'll get some more of your texts. So Hot Take Tuesday, we love it. Brought to you by Papa Murphy's. Just a little bit here, though, about the Aaron Rodgers situation today. It's not getting better, that's for sure, Tyler.
For who? It's kind of getting better for us, I feel like.
Well, okay, right.
Every day I get a little bit more hopeful.
Good point. So here's, of course, we have Mark Murphy.
He's a complicated fella.
When's that T-shirt coming out? But hey, Raj, when's the complicated fella? Oh, do we have an update? Do we have an update, Richard?
Really?
That would be amazing.
I mean, I had a conversation with Raj about it, so we'll
okay.
see. But yeah.
All right.
And how did that go?
There seemed to be mutual interest.
A spark, perhaps?
I hope there's mutual interest between the Broncos and Aaron Rodgers, and that's the mutual interest that I'm really looking for here. But sure, if we want to make a T-shirt, great.
Everybody makes T-shirts. We better get on it. But the complicated fella, Denver Broncos T-shirt, hey, who's up for a complicated fella training camp? Raise your hand.
Yes,
I mean,
sir.
I know we got 50-50, coin flip.
It will no longer be a complicated situation, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
I will not be making any tally marks about how many throws he got versus the other guy.
You think I'd be doing any of this? Aaron Rodgers is there. I'd be kicking back, just talking to the, you know, media, you know, scum like myself about what they're doing in their lives.
I mean, life can be boring, actually.
Yeah.
Maybe we should be rooting against Aaron Rodgers,
you
right?
You think I'd be...
You done messed up, A.A. Ron!
You think I'd be taking notes on every single snap that happened with Aaron Rodgers? The answer is no.
Can you imagine breaking down every snap that Aaron Rodgers had? I'm like, he got a 71%. No. He needed to grade out at 78 today.
Well,
that was not good enough.
No, I know what I'd be doing. Cuz, let me think. Oh, yeah. Peyton Manning was here. And I know when the last time I did stuff like this, I know when it was. And it was like Tim Tebow, Kyle Orton. And then there was a crazy gap. Here's what was crazy. By the way, we're props to Mike and Mark, but we're going to keep the smear campaign going right now.
Oh.
You didn't have to. Well, could we really do it?
Oh.
I mean, I don't want to be written. I'm giving them.
That feels a little bit disrespectful. I mean, did they get a copyright or anything? Are we allowed to use this?
I'm giving them full credit.
Okay, as long as you give credit.
I'm giving full credit. Mike and Mark. I wouldn't have to take detailed notes like this when it was Simeon Lynch. Because it was too obvious. It was all Trevor Siemian. I mean, you would start out taking notes, maybe, but you would stop about, you know, 10 plays in. It was like, okay, all right. Except for that.
So why did you keep saying that Paxton should start?
Well, because that's...
Never mind. I don't want to go down that rabbit hole, but I do recall listening to that conversation day in and day out, and despite the fact that Trevor was that much better, you kept saying the Paxton should start.
Because it goes to your philosophy of drafting him in the first place, which of course goes to why you shouldn't bother with a quarterback in the 20s, but if you make that tragic mistake at some point, no matter what, if you do it, you got to commit to it, or why did you do it in the first place? So it's very complicated. It's a complicated fella. You did something you shouldn't have done, and now it forces you to in a position to do something else that you probably shouldn't do. But if you don't do it, why'd you do the first mistake? It's trying to correct a mistake. And by the way, that's
But I mean, once the mistake's made, we don't need to argue
well,
over this. But I mean,
right.
Once the mistake's made, what are you going to do? Double down on that mistake? Or are you going to recognize it was a mistake and move on?
That is an amazing question.
It's not that complicated. You recognize it and you don't dig deeper.
Okay, fine. Cool. But they kept him on the team. Fine, Tyler. I agree. So cut like the Cardinals did with Josh Rosen. Cut Lynch.
They didn't cut him.
Well, whatever. I mean, trade him. Get rid of him.
Yeah, but you got to be tradable in order to do that.
Okay, I'm just saying.
But my point is they wouldn't have cut Josh Rosen in that situation. If it came down to the fact where they didn't have a suitor to trade him, they wouldn't have cut him because they would have just said, hey, we've got a first-round backup quarterback on the team, and you would try to make it work as a backup QB.
Well, I think that's a first-round selected backup QB. Talk about insanity. Move on. Clear it up. See, you could clear it up. That's what the Cardinals did with Rosen. They cleared things up. They weren't going to keep him around as a backup, even though he would have been a cheap backup quarterback, by the way. They cleared things up. We're clearing it out for Kyler Murray. The end. We're moving forward. We're making it clear.
Trust me, if the Broncos could have traded Paxton Lynch, they would have.
Well, okay. After the first year, they should have tried harder. Or just cut him. They ended up... Right, because... Correct, because he was a first-round guy.
You could try as hard as you want to. If you can't do it, you can't do it.
All right, fine. So you're stuck with them.
Yeah.
And now it's completely confusing. And Trevor Siemian, your Gary Kubiak doppelganger, is now outplaying your first-round John Elway, lookalike. It was the weirdest psychological bizarro situation ever, where you have a guy that Elway connected with, drafted, being crushed by Gary, Kubiak was.
I think people don't give Elway enough credit for recognizing that, yes, he made a mistake with Paxton. Elway wasn't out there pushing for Paxton as hard as people make it sound. I know the end of the season. I know Elway told Kubiak to play him. Believe me, if Elway was really wanting to put his foot down about Paxton Lynch, he would have. He knew what he got. He recognized he made a mistake. He wasn't pushing for that guy to play.
Fair enough. This is a deeper question. I will get to the Aaron Rodgers stuff here in a second. But after that game, and I know Kubiak had already announced he was leaving, and what you're referencing is the Raiders game, last game of the year, where Kubiak said during the week he was going to split the reps because they were already out of it. It didn't matter. It was a preseason game. In fact, a win would just hurt your draft eligibility or position. You're always eligible. Up 24-0. In the third quarter, they continued to play Trevor Siemian for the rest of the game at 24-0 rather than Paxton Lynch.
I get it.
Why didn't you?
But believe me, if Elway was really making it that big of a stink, that he really cared that much, he would have gotten his way.
But why didn't you, in the offseason, after you just had a humiliating moment like that, simply just not move on from Paxton Lynch, because he clearly wasn't the guy. And if it really wasn't that big deal...
Wait, now you got to help me with my timeline. Didn't they? Didn't they go get Case Keenum then?
No. Then it was the competition. It was Siemian versus Paxton Lynch.
Oh, 2.0.
That was Lynch's rookie year.
That was 2.0 after that. Got it.
Yeah, I mean, we get rookie years. We understand rookie years. Okay, fine. It's your rookie, that type of thing. You could have gone one of two ways, but why did you go that way? That was the mistake. You brought Siemian back and Lynch back. We all knew Siemian was going to look better than Paxton Lynch.
Where were they
going
to go? Who were they going to draft? They didn't have the ability. I mean, sometimes you get stuck in a bad situation that, it's bad and it sucks. You are where you are.
Right.
But you can't fix it all the time. It's not always that easy to fix.
No kidding. We've been living with it for years.
Right.
We have been living with that bad situation, which started when you should have begged Manning for one more year, hindsight being 2020, and then you should have signed Brock, I guess, because you had trained him for 4 years, for at least a year, and you got nothing. And you were in a desperate situation. You were a nervous Nelly because you heard about the Cowboys having interest in Paxton Lynch, and you decided to take the one dude that everybody else who needed a quarterback passed on. And you, Broncos, moved up to stop the Cowboys from taking him. Oh, and by the way, guess who the Cowboys drafted? Dak Prescott.
In the fourth round. What a dumb argument.
In the fourth round.
What a dumb argument. Don't act like the Cowboys did some huge commitment.
They got lucky.
Yes.
They got lucky.
So don't use that. Come on. They got lucky. You don't even understand what you're arguing.
They got lucky.
Exactly.
But the Broncos.
They didn't make some commitment to go out and get their quarterback.
They got lucky.
Yes.
The Broncos got hoodwinked because they thought they had to move up. All right, hold on real quick. Do you think, had the Broncos not selected Paxton Lynch, the Cowboys were going to take him?
I do.
I don't. I think they hoodwinked the Broncos. I think they got over on Elway.
I think they were going to take him. I think Jerry Jones really liked him.
Okay.
I mean, that's just the information that we had. I don't have any reason to not believe that information.
I think they were playing some games. But most of the information slides in the way that the Cowboys were interested, and that's why the Broncos did what they did. But that tailspin, Tyler, we're still recovering from it now. Can you believe it? All these years later, we're still trying to recover from that. It's insane. And when you make bad decisions in wrong situations with quarterbacks, you can go down this tailspin. It's ugly, man. It's ugly. The Browns, I mean, you know, awful. Do you know, I shouldn't say this on the air. I should. We had a t-shirt idea that we just was like, oh, man, we can't do that. I won't say it on the air, but it was like, wow. It made sense, though.
Nobody's making any sense of what you're saying right now.
The Broncos, sadly, in the last 5 years, have resembled the Cleveland Browns' past history when it comes to quarterbacks. And sadly, I kill you with truth. I kill you with truth on that. Top six is next.